on this square log versus round log for shipment overseas, do you feel that it should come off square log, should only come off government land, or should it come off private land too?
Well, I think people have a right to do whatever they want to with their private lands. If they want to ship these logs from private lands, there's no reason why they shouldn't do it. But after all, most of our forests are in national preserves. They're either in the Tongass or Chugach National Forest, or they're on public domain, either owned by the Department of the Interior or the Department of Agriculture. But if there is some privately owned land, which is timber, then the owner of that land has a right to do whatever he wants with his logs. Yes.
In the misrepresentation of the facts about the Tonkin Gulf incident, do you feel it was deliberate on the part of the administration to receive that authorization?
Well, there was a good deal of evidence that they knew it wasn't a clearly unprovoked attack, and I think there is reason for suspecting that the administration was welcoming an incident that would enable it to go all out. It was clearly indicated in a press conference sometime before that they were more or less waiting for some act of that kind that would justify it. You never like to asperse people's motives, but there's enough in the record to show that we were looking for an incident. Yes.
Do you see any parallel between this and the bombing of Pearl Harbor?
Do I see any difference between... Well, I think that we have been guilty of doing the things that we denounced unsparingly when done in earlier wars by Hitler and the Japanese. There are some slight differences. I think in the case of attack on Pearl Harbor, it was utterly unprovoked and utterly without warning. But I don't think there's any very great difference. I don't think there's any justification whatever for our bombing North Vietnam, on the idea that by doing that we would compel them to come to the conference table. I think it was wholly immoral, wholly unjustified. Yes?
How do you feel about the Pueblo incident?
Well, I think the Pueblo incident is the natural result of our poking our noses where we shouldn't be. Why should we have been there? Why should we be spying all over the world? This is probably part of what would be called isolationism, but I don't see why we should have had the Pueblo there at all. And this is a further proof of the folly of that policy, of the impotence of a great power, when a fourth-rate power can take an American ship and tow it to port in a very humiliating incident. It shows that we don't belong there. We shouldn't expose ourselves to it. Now, if we want to do this spying and not subject ourselves to this humiliation, the Canadian ferries to ship freight up from Canada. Now, that is still awaiting action in the House. Of course, if the House doesn't pass it, we won't get it.
On Secretary of the Interior Udall's proposal for water pollution, how does that affect our state? I understand it's reducing the street bad.
Well, this proposal was a little extreme. It included... it would have included, if followed literally, the abolition of placer mining, which in my judgment and the judgment of mining people generally is not pollution. It involves getting sand and gravel into a stream which is usually silt-laden anyhow. And after a protest which I made in conference with a number of Alaskans, I think it is agreed that this attitude will be modified in such a way that there will be no real pollution, but there will also be no impairment of legitimate activities. I think it's very important that we stop pollution, but I think we must also realize that certain provisions that seem to be applicable to the lower 48 are not necessarily applicable to Alaska. Conditions are different here, and placer mining certainly would come in that category. But I think we should take every other step to stop the pollution of oil off our shores, and the pollution of discharging sewage into our waters, and that should not merely apply to rivers, it should apply to coastal waters and estuaries. And I would hope that Alaska, being a young new state and with the opportunity of not making the same mistakes that the older states have done, where they universally befouled their environment, that we could escape that here. And I think it should be a matter of earnest cooperation between the federal, state governments, and the municipal authorities.
How do you feel about this, the proposed surtax, say, concerned with the events of the day? I mean, if the president, if he says...
Well, I'm against it. I shall vote against it if it comes up when I'm in Washington. I'm against it because it would simply be used for war purposes. If I could be sure the surtax would be used for some worthwhile domestic things, such as slum clearance and the war on poverty, I would vote for it. But there's no such guarantee. In fact, there's every assurance of the opposite, that we are being asked to cut down on these vital domestic projects and in addition to vote for the surtax.
Senator
Bartlett,
some people say that you're
what's that?
Senator Bartlett in the Senate have been for naught because of the fact that Representative Pollock hasn't pushed the same legislation through the House. He denies this vehemently and says that he's got a better attendance record than anyone.
Well, he said he'd voted more times than any delegate, which was very easy because our delegates weren't allowed to vote. Well, let's take the record. The Senate passed a bill, got $1 million for Eskimo housing. It didn't get passed in the House. I have two or three bills there that are waiting action by the House, and at the end of the session I will be able to tell you whether or not he's acted. Well, gold is a very mysterious, gold as a monetary symbol is a very mysterious and complex problem. I think you have to be a sort of a wizard to understand it. I must say I was rather gratified to see the fixed limit that was established by the government of $35 an ounce go by the board and allow our miners to sell gold at whatever price they can get. The discrimination against the gold mining industry is unique under our free enterprise system. No other commodity is compelled by law and under penalties to sell at a price that is no longer profitable. And that's the history of our gold mining. That is a rule imposed by the government. And I'm glad that circumstances have voided it. Now, I don't know whether the price is going to be high enough to make it profitable for our gold miners to start working their mines again, but I certainly hope so.
The recent commission report having to do with slums and so forth, and I can't remember the name of the report, but I'm sure you know what...
It was the report of the President's Commission on Civil Disorders.
Yes, it has been charged that President Johnson has been slow to act on this. Do you care to comment on that?
That's quite correct. He didn't comment on it for about a week, and then he made a rather slight comment. He said it was interesting reading, and then three of the prominent government officials all... rather downgraded it, which was evidently done under orders from the White House. It was done by Vice President Humphrey, and then by Secretary of HUD Bob Weaver, and then by Wilbur Cohen, the new Secretary of Health, Education, Welfare. And the Government Printing Office has not printed the report, which can be expected, and you now have to buy it from a private publisher at $1.25 a copy. It's worth the price, though, but the government printing office should print it.
What is your personal opinion?
I think it's a magnificent report, and I think we should act on it. But we're not going to, I'm afraid, sir.
What would be your attitude toward a negative income tax or guaranteed income tax?
Sir, what?
Your attitude toward a negative income tax or guaranteed income tax?
Well, I think it's one of those things that will probably come. And it's no more startling than unemployment compensation. When unemployment compensation was first broached in the Roosevelt administration, it was just horrified everybody. What, pay people for not working? Unthinkable. I think that a negative income tax might be a very useful thing. Yes?
I wonder if you could tell us why there appears to be no effort to phase out the 1.5 million troops that are stationed in various countries throughout the world.
In the troops in Europe?
Yes.
Well, I think they should be. I think NATO is obsolete. I think the conditions that existed which justified NATO in the 40s, when there was great danger that the Russians would march across Europe, no longer exist. And I think this is one way in which we could solve the balance of payments problem, which the administration seems so concerned about. I think we should bring our troops back home. And we're all over the world. We have, in addition to the 500,000 troops on the ground in Vietnam, we have 50,000 in Thailand. We have 30,000 in Okinawa. We have 40,000 in Japan. We have 55,000 in Korea. We have troops in the Philippines, and we have 300,000 troops in Europe. And I think it's totally unnecessary.
There's been a lot of talk about those people today who are not candidates, and it's assumed that you are a candidate. And I was wondering if you could tell the people assembled here what are those things that all of us who would like to see you reelected this fall can do to assist in this particular task.
Well, I certainly welcome that proposal. I am a candidate for re-election, and I base my desire to run on the feeling that I can be helpful to Alaska in the future, that my experience and seniority will be helpful. I'm now chairman of three subcommittees, all of which have some bearing on Alaska. One, the Committee on Mines, Materials, and Fuels, as a result of which I was able to get a very important piece of legislation through the Congress, which permits unlimited deduction for exploration. Up to that time, it was limited to $400,000 for any mining enterprise. Exploration is particularly important in Alaska because we know, or we are convinced, that we have large quantities of minerals, but we don't know in what quantities and where they are. And the difference, what we have not done and what could be done, is very strikingly illustrated by a map which appeared in Joe Fitzgerald's report. Joe Fitzgerald is head of the President's Committee on Planning for Alaska. And this map, which was drawn by Chuck Herbert, former member of the legislature and a graduate of university, showed that in Alaska there were seven active mining projects. And across the border in Canada, in Yukon Territory, there were 19. And in the upper third of British Columbia, the part that corresponds to southeastern Alaska, the panhandle, there were 30. So there were 49 projects in an area smaller than ours to our seven, with probably the same geological structures. And what are the reasons? Well, I took three of the top mining people in the government, the director of the Geological Survey, Bill Pecora, the new commissioner of mines, Dr. Hibbard, and the assistant secretary in charge of mining, Cordell Moore, over to Whitehorse to find out what the Canadians were doing that we weren't doing. And it was very illuminating. And if we could adopt their policies, which I think account for the difference, we could develop our mining. They do three things that we do not do. They, first of all, furnish two-thirds of the cost for any mining project of what you might call the infrastructure. Road or railway connection to the coast, airfields, the power. Then in addition to that, after a project gets into production, they relieve it of all taxes for 3 years. And third, they have a very elaborate program of prospecting. Now, we've had prospecting here, but they do it much more carefully. No man can come in there and hold out his hand and say, I'm a prospector, please give me. He's got to prove that he knows what he's looking for, and he has to take tests, and then they will subsidize him for 3 years. And if at the end of that time he's found nothing, they write it off. But if he does find something and it gets into production, he's supposed to repay what's been advanced to him. Now, those three things which we do not do, I think, account for the difference. And I think this is one of the things we should do here. This is one of the things that I was able to accomplish because I was chairman of the Subcommittee on Mines, Materials, and Fuels. Another subcommittee is a Committee on Foreign Expenditures, which is a rather wide-ranging thing. I've been able to point out a lot of waste that's been going on our program and to get some of it stopped. And also, it's going to enable me to bring back a lot of the surplus that's being generated here. This is legislation now pending. And use it at home, where it's very badly needed. We need a lot of this surplus. Several $1 billion worth of surplus is generated every year by the armed services. And some of it is virtually brand new. and that is just being given away to foreign countries, which is another spigot in our foreign aid program. And the third subcommittee, to which I've just been appointed, is a subcommittee of the Public Works Committee on Economic Development, which will be particularly useful here in Alaska. It's supposed to be designed for economic development in depressed areas. Well, those things and your experience and your conduct are valuable to the state that you represent. And I think my experience in public life, both my 9 years in the Senate and my 13 years as governor, and before that as director of territories, put me in a position to, I think, be useful to Alaska. And that's about it. There may be other reasons, pro or con, why I shouldn't be elected.
The senator has to leave now, and so we will have to call the question period to an end. I would like to thank Senator Greening for taking time out of his obviously busy schedule to be able to come down and spend some time with us. And as he said earlier, that if you're interested in seeing his reelection, go out and spread the word. And there, as was mentioned earlier, we're taking names of those people who would like to assist in his campaign. And you can contact me or Dick Holden and give us your names and addresses. Again, I would like to thank Senator Greening for his appearance here tonight.
Thank you very much.
Well, I think people have a right to do whatever they want to with their private lands. If they want to ship these logs from private lands, there's no reason why they shouldn't do it. But after all, most of our forests are in national preserves. They're either in the Tongass or Chugach National Forest, or they're on public domain, either owned by the Department of the Interior or the Department of Agriculture. But if there is some privately owned land, which is timber, then the owner of that land has a right to do whatever he wants with his logs. Yes.
In the misrepresentation of the facts about the Tonkin Gulf incident, do you feel it was deliberate on the part of the administration to receive that authorization for the truth?
Well, there was a good deal of evidence that they knew it wasn't a clearly unprovoked attack. And I think there is reason for suspecting that the administration was welcoming an incident that would enable it to go all out. It was clearly indicated in a press conference sometime before that they were more or less waiting for some act of that kind that would justify it. You never like to asperse people's motives, but there's enough in the record to show that we were looking for an incident. Yes.
Do you see any parallels between this and the bombing of Pearl Harbor?
Do I see any difference between... Well, I think that we have been guilty of doing the things that we denounced unsparingly when done in earlier wars by Hitler and the Japanese. There are some slight differences. I think in the case of attack on Pearl Harbor, it was utterly unprovoked and utterly without warning. But I don't think there's any very great difference. I don't think there's any justification whatever for our bombing North Vietnam, on the idea that by doing that we would compel them to come to the conference table. I think it was wholly immoral, wholly unjustified. Yes?
How do you feel about the Pueblo incident?
Well, I think the Pueblo incident is the natural result of our poking our noses where we shouldn't be. Why should we have been there? Why should we be spying all over the world? This is probably part of what would be called isolationism, but I don't see why we should have had the Pueblo there at all. And this is a further proof of the folly of that policy, of the impotence of a great power. When a fourth-rate power can take an American ship and tow it to port in a very humiliating incident, it shows that we don't belong there. We shouldn't expose ourselves to it. Now, if we want to do this spying and not subject ourselves to this humiliation, the Canadian ferries to ship freight up from Canada. Now, that is still awaiting action in the House. Of course, if the House doesn't pass it, we won't get it.
On Secretary of Interior Udall's proposal for water pollution, how does that affect our state? I understand it's reducing pretty bad.
Well, this proposal was a little extreme. It included, it would have included, if followed literally, the abolition of placer mining, which in my judgment and the judgment of mining people generally is not pollution. It involves getting sand and gravel into a stream which is usually silt-laden anyhow. And after a protest which I made in conference with a number of Alaskans, I think it is agreed that this attitude will be modified in such a way that there will be no real pollution, but there will also be no impairment of legitimate activities. I think it's very important that we stop pollution, but I think we must also realize that certain provisions that seem to be applicable to the lower 48 are not necessarily applicable to Alaska. Conditions are different here, and placer mining certainly would come in that category. But I think we should take every other step to stop the pollution of oil off our shores and the pollution of discharging sewage into our waters, and that should not merely apply to rivers, it should apply to coastal waters and estuaries. And I would hope that Alaska, being a young new state and with the opportunity of not making the same mistakes that the older states have done, where they universally befouled their environment, that we could escape that here. And I think it should be a matter of earnest cooperation between the federal, state governments, and the municipal authorities.
How do you feel about this, the proposed surtax, say, concerned with the events of the day? I mean, if the president, if he says...
Well, I'm against it. I shall vote against it if it comes up when I'm in Washington. I'm against it because it would simply be used for war purposes. If I could be sure the surtax would be used for some worthwhile domestic things, such as slum clearance and the war on poverty, I would vote for it. But there's no such guarantee. In fact, there's every assurance of the opposite, that we are being asked to cut down on these vital domestic projects and in addition to vote for the surtax.
Senator Bartlett, some people say that you're
what's that?
Senator Bartlett in the Senate have been for naught because of the fact that Representative Pollock hasn't pushed the same legislation through the House. He denies this vehemently and says that he's got a better attendance record than anyone.
Well, he said he'd voted more times than any delegate, which was very easy because our delegates weren't allowed to vote. Well, let's take the record. The Senate passed a bill, got $1 million for Eskimo housing. It didn't get passed in the House. I have two or three bills there that are waiting action by the House, and at the end of the session I will be able to tell you whether or not he's acted.
Do you think Alaska's gold problems and America's gold problems can be solved together, or one will affect the other?
Well, gold is a very mysterious, gold as a monetary symbol is a very mysterious and complex problem. I think you have to be a sort of a wizard to understand it. I must say I was rather gratified to see the fixed limit that was established by the government of $35 an ounce go by the board and allow our miners to sell gold at whatever price they can get. The discrimination against the gold mining industry is unique under our free enterprise system. No other commodity is compelled by law and under penalties to sell at a price that is no longer profitable, and that's the history of our gold mining. That is a rule imposed by the government, and I'm glad that circumstances have voided it. Now, I don't know whether the price is going to be high enough to make it profitable for our gold miners to start working their mines again, but I certainly hope so.
The recent commission report having to do with slums and so forth, and I can't remember the name of the report, but I'm sure you know what...
It was the report of the President's Commission on Civil Disorders.
Yes, it has been charged that President Johnson has been slow to act on this. Do you care to comment on that?
That's quite correct. He didn't comment on it for about a week, and then he made a rather slight comment. He said it was interesting reading, and Then three of the prominent government officials all rather downgraded it, which was evidently done under orders from the White House. It was done by Vice President Humphrey, and then by Secretary of HUD Bob Weaver, and then by Wilbur Cohen, the new Secretary of Health, Education, Welfare. And the Government Printing Office has not printed the report, which can be expected, and you now have to buy it from a private publisher at $1.25 a copy. It's worth the price, though, but the Government Printing Office should print it.
What is your personal opinion?
I think it's a magnificent report, and I think we should act on it, but we're not going to, I'm afraid, sir.
Your attitude toward a negative income tax or guaranteed income tax?
Well, I think it's one of those things that'll probably come, and it's no more startling than unemployment compensation. When unemployment compensation was first broached in the Roosevelt administration, it was just horrified everybody. What? Pay people for not working? Unthinkable. I think that a negative income tax might be a very useful thing. Yes?
If you could tell us why there appears to be no effort to phase out the 1.5 million troops that are stationed in various countries throughout the world. Are they still serving
purposes? The troops in Europe?
All over.
Well, I think they should be. I think NATO is obsolete. I think the conditions that existed which justified NATO in the 40s, when there was great danger that the Russians would march across Europe, no longer exist. And I think this is one way in which we could solve the balance of payments problem, which the administration seems so concerned about. I think we should bring our troops back home. And we're all over the world. We have, in addition to the 500,000 troops on the ground in Vietnam, we have 50,000 in Thailand, we have 30,000 in Okinawa, we have 40,000 in Japan, we have 55,000 in Korea, we have troops in the Philippines, and we have 300,000 troops in Europe. And I think it's totally unnecessary.
There's been a lot of talk about those people today who are not candidates, and it's assumed that you are a candidate, and I was wondering if you could tell the people assembled here what are those things that all of us who would like to see you reelected this fall can do to assist in this particular task?
Well, I certainly welcome that proposal. I am a candidate for reelection, and I base my desire to run on the feeling that I can be helpful to Alaska in the future, that my experience and seniority will be helpful. I'm now chairman of three subcommittees, all of which have some bearing on Alaska. One, the Committee on Mines, Materials, and Fuels, as a result of which I was able to get a very important piece of legislation through the Congress, which permits unlimited deduction for exploration. Up to that time, it was limited to $400,000 for any mining enterprise. Exploration is particularly important in Alaska because we know, or we are convinced, that we have large quantities of minerals, but we don't know in what quantities and where they are. And the difference, what we have not done and what could be done, is very strikingly illustrated by a map which appeared in Joe Fitzgerald's report. Joe Fitzgerald is head of the President's Committee on Planning for Alaska. And this map, which was drawn by Chuck Herbert, former member of the legislature and a graduate of university, showed that in Alaska there were 7 active mining projects. And across the border in Canada, in the Yukon Territory, there were 19. And in the upper third of British Columbia, the part that corresponds to southeastern Alaska, the panhandle, there were 30. So there were 49 projects in an area smaller than ours to our 7, with probably the same geological structures. And what are the reasons? Well, I took 3 of the top mining people in the government, the director of the Geological Survey, Bill Pecora, the new commissioner of mines, Dr. Hibbard, and the assistant secretary in charge of mining, Cordell Moore, over to Whitehorse to find out what the Canadians were doing that we weren't doing. And it was very illuminating. And if we could adopt their policies, which I think account for the difference, we could develop our mining. They do 3 things that we do not do. They, first of all, furnish 2/3 of the cost for any mining project of what you might call the infrastructure. Road, a railway connection to the coast, airfields, the power. Then in addition to that, after a project gets into production, they relieve it of all taxes for 3 years. And third, they have a very elaborate program of prospecting. Now, we've had prospecting here, but they do it much more carefully. No man can come in there and hold out his hand and say, I'm a prospector, please give me. He's got to prove that he knows what he's looking for, and he has to take tests, and then they will subsidize him for 3 years. And if at the end of that time he's found nothing, they write it off. But if he does find something and it gets into production, he's supposed to repay what's been advanced to him. Now, those three things which we do not do, I think, account for the difference. And I think this is one of the things we should do here. This is one of the things that I was able to accomplish because I was chairman of the Subcommittee on Mines, Materials, and Fuels. Another subcommittee is a Committee on Foreign Expenditures, which is a rather wide-ranging thing. I've been able to point out a lot of waste that's been going on our program and to get some of it stopped. And also, it's going to enable me to bring back a lot of the surplus that's being generated here. This is legislation now pending. And use it at home, where it's very badly needed. We need a lot of this surplus. Several $1 billion worth of surplus is generated every year by the armed services. And some of it is virtually brand new. And that is just being given away to foreign countries, which is another spigot in our foreign aid program. And the third subcommittee, to which I've just been appointed, is a subcommittee of the Public Works Committee on Economic Development, which will be particularly useful here in Alaska. It's supposed to be designed for economic development in depressed areas. Well, those things and your experience and your conduct are valuable to the state that you represent. And I think my experience in public life, both my 9 years in the Senate and my 13 years as governor, and before that as director of territories, put me in a position to, I think, be useful to Alaska. And that's about it. There may be other reasons, pro or con, why I shouldn't be elected.
The senator has to leave now, and so we will have to call the question period to an end. I would like to thank Senator Greening for taking time out of his obviously busy schedule to be able to come down and spend some time with us. And as he said earlier, that if you're interested in seeing his reelection, go out and spread the word. And there, as was mentioned earlier, we're taking names of those people who would like to assist in his campaign. And you can contact me or Dick Holden and give us your names and addresses. Again, I would like to thank Senator Greening for his appearance here tonight.
Thank you very much.